And we have been concentrating on Jesus Christ, the way. The way. And I have been giving you a whole bunch of things that he's the way to, right? He's the way to having a life and having it how?
Abundance.
To joy. How much? Complete. Peace that surpasses understanding. We've been talking about this stuff, right? Now, I told you a week or two ago, you know, I gave you a math problem. Say there's, you know, 200 million Christians in the world. And I told you that what percentage of those 200 million Christians have, you know, that peace. And we all said it's not 100%, right? All right. So the problem then can be solved by one or two reasons. We know that non-believers do not have the peace of Christ. We know that non-believers do not have that joy that's complete. And we know that non-believers do not have that life that's abundant. That's an easy question, right? It's an easy answer. What do they need to do to get those things? Non-believers, what do they need to do? Who said that? Come to Christ. Get Christ in them, right? That's easy. Come to Jesus Christ. Be full of the Holy Ghost. We talked about it. That's easy. But what do Christians need to do? Mike said, get a life. The question is, huh?
Be a light.
Be a light? Okay. But we know what the answer is to non-Christians is to come to Jesus. But what about those people who already came to Jesus and they still don't have a joy? What about those who already came to Jesus and they do not have peace? What about those who came to Jesus and they don't have a life? Does anybody know people like that?
Sure.
Is that you? And so what we have to do is we have to determine, okay, we know the answer to non-Christians, but what is the answer to Christians? We're going to talk about that today. What is the answer today for Christians? How do you be able to come to Jesus and have that abundant life that you long for? Let's go to Luke 6, 22-23.
Blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner their fathers did to the prophets.
Now you know what you want to do when people get on your nerves, don't you?
Yes.
I mean, how many of you are leaping for joy? You know, oh, praise God, man, they're talking about me. Yippee! No, that's not what you do, is it? I mean, when people are really on your case big time, there's something inside of you that wants to react to that, right? And most of, oh, Eddie went, that's the idiot light. That's the sign for me, idiot light. How many know we all got one of them, right? We all got the light, right? And when somebody reviles you, and somebody talks about you, and somebody calls your names, or they won't let you participate in whatever, and you know, and you know they're kind of talking about you, how many know you hear people talking, walk in the room, it gets quiet, and you go, uh-oh. How many's ever been in a situation like that? You go, oh man, I know they're... But have you ever been in a room talking when somebody walked in the room and you were quiet? You see, for Christians, that's called the principle of reciprocity. You know what that means? What goes around?
Comes around.
See, the question that I have to ask you is not, were you the one that walked in the room when everybody was quiet? The question that I have is, were you in the room when somebody walked in and you had to be quiet? That's not very Christ-like, is it?
No.
And so the question that we have to ask ourselves is, you know, if I want to have that peace of God inside of me, if I want to have that life that is so abundant, if I want to have that joy that's complete, you got to get rid of some stuff. You got to get rid of some stuff. You got to get rid of that inner man, that inner woman that's still inside of you. How many know it's still in there? It's lurking inside, isn't it? How many know at any given red light, it could come out? Couldn't it?
Yep.
At any given red light, it could come out. Sissy and I was, where was we? Somewhere. We was many places yesterday. We're sitting at a red light. And, oh, it was in Chippewa Walmart. We're sitting at a red light, and I'm in the right-hand lane. There's a car beside me in the left-hand lane. And we're sitting at a red light. And we're right on Route 51, Constitution Boulevard. And I'm looking, I'm talking to Sissy. I think I was singing something or something. The light turned green. And the car beside me, I was looking at her, and she was smiling because she saw me singing. She pulled off, she hit her brakes, hit my brakes, and a truck, I mean a truck, right through the red light. If he had hit her, he'd have killed her. And if he had hit her and me, he'd have killed us all. Tractor trailer, 18-wheeler. He went right through the red light, and we were just ready to go out. Ready to go out. And I'm telling you, and Sissy's kind of, you know, she screamed because that truck went right through the red light. And had he hit her, he'd have pushed her right, and we would all would have died. Now, what do you do? What do you do? Now, there are some individuals would have made a right-hand turn and ran that guy down, right? There are people that would have done that. Is that what you would have done? I think the first thing is to stop and pray. Thank you, Lord. I don't know what made us not go when that light turned green. But you know, if we had gone, I'm telling you, had we have gone 10 feet, 5 feet, we would not be here. That's how fast that truck was going. So first thing you need to do is what? Thank you, Jesus. And then pray for that person in that truck. See, that's the peace that surpasses understanding. Do you have that? Do you have that? Turn in your Bibles, please, to Luke 6:35.
But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and evil.
Love your enemies. You know what? Let's not even go there. Let's say, love those you say you love. Let's try that. Let's not even go to love your enemies part. Let's go to love those you say you love part. Then we'll move on to the enemy part. How do you love somebody in this room? Now the question is, how do you love them? That's the question. It says in Scripture right here, it says, and Mickey read it for you, it says, Luke 6:35, love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for what? Nothing. Nothing. How many of you ever do something for somebody and expect nothing in return? I mean, you give something so unconditionally, you say to yourselves, you know what, I don't want anything, I'm just going to do it just to do it. How many of you ever had that experience? Okay, it's kind of like a husband who wants to send roses to his wife. Let's just suppose that I decide to send roses to Sissy. It's not her birthday. It's not her anniversary. No, I did nothing wrong. I just want to send some roses to her. It's not a birthday, not an anniversary. No, just to do it. Just to do something nice. And expect nothing in return. How many are with me on that? And so I call the florist on the phone and I say, hey, I need you to send the most beautiful 12 long-stem roses you got in the store. Send them. And call me when you sent them so I know that she got them. So it's a Friday. He called me, Reverend Bracken, yeah, this is, you know, the florist. I want you to know. I gave them to her. She got them. Oh, great, thank you. It's like 10 o'clock and it's 10:30 and it's 11 o'clock and it's like 11:30. Nothing. What am I waiting for? Well, why am I waiting for a phone call? And why am I waiting for a phone call? I did it for what? I did it for what? But I said I want to do it for what? Nothing. I just want to do it. No strings attached. I just did it. 12 o'clock. Hey, how you doing? Well, I'm good. Kind of busy. Anything exciting happen today, Sissy? Nope. Not that I can think of. What? What? Hey, gotta go. What? What am I feeling inside? Why am I angry? I didn't do it for, I didn't want anything. I just did it to be kind. Or did I? Or did I? I didn't want anything. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. Nothing, not a phone call, not a nothing, not an email, not a text, not a nothing. What am I thinking when I'm going home now? Am I happy? Why am I not happy? I mean, I didn't do it. I didn't want anything. Oh, there's always strings attached. There's always got a string attached to those things you say that you do unconditionally. Oh, there's one. Right? I walk in the house, a rose is on the counter, not even in a vase. And I do what I always do. Hey, Lucy, I'm home. I'll be down in a minute. Hey, did you get flowers today or what? You see, there's always strings attached. Always. And the question is, when you do things, do you need the data boy? Do you need that recognition? Do you need that ruffle hair? Good boy, good boy. What do you really truly need? Can you really do something unconditionally and not expect anything in return? See, that is Christ-like. In a sense, to love your enemies. Brothers and sisters, let's talk about, forget love your enemies part. Let's go to supposedly the easy part, which is love those you say you love. Oh, I love somebody. You know what? You have Barry White love. I love you, baby. That's carnal. Let me help you with love. Love is patient. Let's just stop with that one. Love is what?
Patient.
Not only to say love your enemies, which means to be patient with who? Your enemies, but it also says to be patient, therefore, with who? Those you say that you love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not arrogant, rude, or boastful. Love does not insist on its own ways. Love keeps no records of wrongs. Do you really, truly going to try to make me believe that that's how you love those you say you love? Are you really going to try to tell me that? Really? How many say you got a long way to work on that? And that is the reason why you do not have joy. And that is the reason why you do not have peace. And that is the reason why you do not have an abundant life. How many understand that? You cannot leave your house fighting with your spouse and say, oh, life is good. Sissy has a plaque on our house. If the woman in this house ain't happy. How many know the rest of that? See, women know that, don't they? Women say, I don't have that plaque, but I know what it says. And so love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not arrogant. Love is not rude. Love is not boastful. Love does not insist on its own way. Love keeps no records of wrongs. And that's loving those you say you love, right? How can you say that you have the joy of Christ in you when the persons that you say you love don't have it in them? True? It gets in the way. It gets in the way of having an abundant life. How many can understand that? And how can you love your enemies when you can't love the ones that share your bed? How can you love your enemies when you can't love the ones that got their blood scoring through your veins? Is that a fair statement? Because you know why? Loving your enemies is easy. You know why? Because you just ignore them. Because you can just not talk to them. How many understand that's true? And so, the reason why a lot of Christians do not have an abundant life, the reason why a lot of Christians don't have that joy that is complete and full, the reason why we don't have that peace of God that transcends all of understanding is because you've got junk inside of you. And how can you be full of the joy of the Lord when you got all that junk? How many understand that? And almost what we need to do for some Christians is pick them up by their heels and what?
Shake them out.
Shake them out. How many know people that need to be shaken out? And so what we got to understand is, how can we do this? Turn in your Bibles, please. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 5.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time.
Yeah, you know what? If you have the need to do things with something in return, get to something returned, build up for you in heaven. Sissy just said she knows a woman that's in bad shape. Well, you don't need to go visit her. Well, you don't need to call her. Well, you don't need to send her anything. What do you need to do? Write her a card. How many of you can write a card? Well, that's it. Write a card. Now, no, she's going to write back to you. Is that okay if she writes back to you? Enter into a dialogue with her. Enter into a dialogue with her. And that's the treasures you store up in heaven. So what if we did these things that Christ wants us to do? Not non-believers, believers. What if we saw life differently and we said unto ourselves, you know what? The heck with that I owe thing off the work I go thing. Let's really concentrate on the important things. on truly that which is important. What if a lot less of us and a lot more of him? I mean, you're going to hear me say on Christmas Eve, I think you might if I remember to do that, and I might have told you this already, you know what the greatest Christmas present you can give anybody is? I'm serious. This is December 23rd, right? I'm going to start sissy shopping tomorrow. It's not hard. Dollar store's real close to my house. It's not difficult. You buy a lot of stuff, Pastor, for $20. You get the card and the package and the paper and everything right there. Scotch tape, $20. The greatest present that you can give to anyone, are you ready? Is to get more Christ in you. We run that by you again. You see, the greatest present that you can give anybody is to get more Jesus in you. Don't worry about getting Jesus in somebody else. Oh, no. You don't have to worry about getting Jesus in them. You need to get Jesus who? In you. Because, see, if you get more Jesus in you, guess what you will be for them? More kind. More loving. More patient. More of not insisting on your own way. How many would say that would be a pretty good Christmas present to give somebody that you love, right? What if you woke up on Christmas morning and you said, you know what? Here's the deal. A little less of me and a lot more of him. How many say your loved ones might be pleased with that present? Right? You know what? Starting with today, I'm going to have so much Christ in me, you won't even recognize me. What? I won't have to recognize you anymore? Nope. As a matter of fact, I've decided on December 25th to kill the old self. And the new self is coming out. How many say that might be a good present for somebody, right? Hey, I have decided that the old self is gone and the new self has arrived. Merry Christmas to me. And you know what I'm going to do starting this day forward? I'm not going to argue with you anymore. And I'm not going to yell at you anymore. I'm not going to fight with you. And I'm going to be so patient with you, you won't even recognize me. Would that be a good present to get somebody? A lot more Jesus in you. Would that be a good present, do you think? You see, we're always so worried about converting somebody else. Fact is, that's the great commission, right? Go ye therefore into all corners of the world, teaching them how to argue like I do. Go into all corners of the world, creating losers. Loser. No. How can you? Do you know how to plumb something, Mark? You can teach me how to do that, right? You know how to do that, Mickey? Well, we got a problem. Let's suppose Mickey wants to come to my house to teach me how to plumb something. You know, I've been given this commission that I'm supposed to go into all corners of the world teaching you how to plumb stuff. Okay, I'm willing to teach me. She said, well, I got a problem. What? It's a problem.
I don't know how.
Bad deal, right? Well, Mark could teach me. Couldn't you? Let's just suppose that I need some electrical kind of thing done. Who's an electrical person in this room? Big electrical person? If I need to know how to wire a socket, can I come to you? That'd be bad. Can I come to you? Yeah. Well, then how can you teach somebody to be a Christian when you ain't one? Well, wait a second. I joined the church. Oh. What does that mean? That means you can teach me how to go to a membership class, but can you teach me how to be a Christian? How many understand that? And so what we have to do at Christmas, brothers and sisters, is that we need to get more Christ in us and a lot less of us on everybody else. Right? See, that's the greatest Christmas present that you give anybody. Right, Glenn? More Christ. More Christ. The question that to ask yourselves is, especially for believers, how many are believers in this room? Now, how many would really say, you know, you're one of those? You can say it. Go ahead.
The whole list.
Yeah, sure.
Bible toting. I'm sorry.
Anybody else give me one?
Blood bought.
Sanctified.
Bible thumper.
Bible thumper. Bible quote. Scripture quoting. Card carrying. Jesus freak. Okay, all together. So what we got to do is we got to understand that in order for us to live the life of Christ, we got to get out of living a life based upon ourselves. And guess what might happen? You might wake up someday, guess what? You might have a life full of joy. That you're not worrying about the get-evens. How many got some get-evens? Anybody got any get-evens in them? Thank you. Okay, it's okay. You don't apologize for that. It ain't me, is it? You got to get rid of the get-evens. You got to get rid of the get-evens and get some more forgiveness in your heart. How many understand that? You got to have that kind of life. You got to get out of the world owes me, because the world don't owe you nothing. They don't owe you anything. All you get's a fair shot, right? That's all you get. You get up in the morning, you get a chance to breathe. How many understand that? And you're not even guaranteed that, are you, Jimmy? You're not. The only thing you get is a chance to get up in the morning and go like this. And then after that, what you do is up to who? You. How many just hate that free will thing? How many would love it if God gave you free will only when you did the good things? And when you was about to do stupid things, the free will left you. How many understand that? So, as you go into this Christmas season, do you or do you not have the abundant life? Do you or do you not have the joy that is complete? Do you or do you not have the peace of God that transcends all of life's understandings? You ask the question. You have to answer it. Do you have those things? And if you do not have those things, I have to just close this part of the message. Here's the problem. An unbeliever can say they didn't know. Yes?
Correct.
An unbeliever can say, I didn't know. But you are without excuse. Sometimes people say, well, Pastor Tom, you know, you're held to a higher standard. Boy, do I know that. But guess what? So are you. Well, you're the pastor. That's by vocation. I'm a child of God. How many children of God we got in this room? And the same standard that I'm held to, guess what? So are you. So are you. Let me just close this with this. I know I'm getting out of here, but on Friday night, I was doing the men's challenge. Mark was there, Mike was there, and Bob was there. I was there. And I did the worship service. And there's two twins there, 14 years old twins. And they are phenomenal. Right, guys? They are prodigies. They were both playing classical piano at the age of 5. They're one of those, I hate them so bad. But I want to love them, but I hate them. And they are prodigies. They're geniuses when it comes to music, right? I mean, geniuses. And they play classical piano at the age of 5, and now they play bass guitar and electric guitar. And they want to play with me all the time, and I invited them to play this thing on Friday night, right? And I got there, and we were setting all the stuff up, and the one twin, they're twins, he was over there thumping on the bass. And I'm looking at the other one, he's sitting there, he's big tall kid too. They'd be like 8 foot when they grow up or something. Be tall kid. He's sitting in a chair like this. And I said, hey, let's go. Not allowed. What do you mean not allowed? I invited you. His dad was behind him. No, he's not allowed. Oh, he's not allowed to play until he respects me a little more. He was not having a good day. The 14-year-old kid was not allowed to play. He was not having a good day. He disobeyed his father. Wasn't allowed to play. How many know when you disobey your father, you're not allowed to play either? But I want to! Tough. You think you're going to have some joy? Well, you're not. You think you're going to have some peace and disobey me? Guess what? Well, you're not. You think you're going to have a life that's abundant when you disobey me? Well, you're not. Sit there, because you ain't playing nothing. Well, guess what? Neither are you when you go disobey your daddy. Well, just before we was to play, he's over there tuned up because of the guitar. I looked at him, looked at dad, looked at him, looked at his dad. His dad said, he said he was sorry. I'll give him another chance. How many want another chance? Well, what should you do? Let's pray. Father, We sometimes do not have that life that is abundant. Father, there are times in our lives that we don't have that joy that is so complete. Lord, there are times that peace is fleeting us. We kind of wonder where it's at, what's always where it always has been. We're just not playing by the rules. We're not playing fair. We love that passage of Scripture that's not in there. I want my cake and eat it too. That's the one I hang my hat on. I want my cake and eat it too. I want to do the things I want to do, but still get all the rewards. Well, that's not the way this works. So we need to be more Christ-like to get more Christ-like things. So Lord, as we close this series up, Lord, and we are 2 days away from the time we celebrate the birth of the King, help us, Lord, to give the best Christmas present anyone could ever get. And that's a lot more Christ in us. And all of God's people said...